All right, everybody, welcome to the Week 14 Take the Points podcast. Tom Zalesnok in Hartford, Connecticut. Dan Partridge in Phoenix, Arizona, live via Skype. Daniel, crazy week for you.
Yeah, working in an airport around Thanksgiving is a little bit tricky. I'll be very happy when I leave work tonight. We're recording this Wednesday.
A rare morning podcast for us, or early afternoon for me, morning for you.
Very rare for me. And so just want to go in there today, get that over with, get out, and enjoy 3 days off. So that'll be good.
Yeah, so we've got about 40 minutes to record today, so we're not going to waste time with recaps or any of that boring stuff. First, I'm going to get your opinion on the new rankings, which are the same as the old rankings. Bama, Oregon, FSU, Mississippi State, and then 5 through 7, you've got TCU, Ohio State, Baylor. Are you okay with that?
Yes and no. I am completely okay with the first four. Obviously, I don't agree with 5, 6, 7, TCU, Ohio State, Baylor. It should go the opposite. It should go Baylor, then TCU, then Ohio State. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, fortunately, these teams have a couple weeks left to play to sort it out. I think that Baylor, should they win out and beat Kansas State at the end of the season,
they
deserve to jump at least Ohio State and probably TCU as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Both. They both should.
So we'll see. I think it's pretty clear that those top four teams should be the top four that the other three need a little bit of help. But as with every year, I'm sure they'll get it.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
All right, so it's a big week, Dan. It's rivalry week.
It's one of my favorite weeks of the year.
So I know you have some rivalry week gambling tips that we go through every year. Do you want to share those basic broad tips?
Yeah, there are two things to keep in mind for this week that we screwed up on last year. One, because it is rivalry week, be careful laying points, especially more than one score. It can be very hard to cover. Two, keep in mind teams who need to win this week in order to be bowl eligible. Very important. We even saw that last night with the horrible game that was on TV between Miami of Ohio and Ohio. Ohio needed a win to get bowl eligible. They come back from 21-0 down and get a win. So keep that in mind for this weekend.
Yeah, I missed that one. Sadly, I was doing anything else.
There's
just advised.
Yeah, it's bad.
All right, one more recap item from last week. I don't know how to pronounce his name, so I apologize, but Samaj Perine of Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
So Melvin Gordon gets his 408, his record. Stoops. Next week, this guy, this freshman from Oklahoma, beats it. Now, Gordon had 25 carries for 408. Perine had 32 carries for 427, and it was against Kansas. But still, that's a shitload of yards. So are you impressed, and why do you think this record's being broken so frequently now?
Well, okay, first off, yes. I mean, obviously, I am impressed that this kid, you know, broke the record, but it's all because of their asshole head coach who is having a terrible year at Oklahoma, and he wants to say, oh, look, even though that we got killed multiple times this year, we had this guy who broke a record. So I'm not impressed overall because it's completely, you know, orchestrated by Stoops, but Oklahoma's a joke.
The playoff committee has brought us back to the old AP days of these cosmetic victories. I noticed that Urban Meyer against Indiana, even with a minute left, ball in hand, up 14, not kneeling it, trying to run. He wasn't really trying to score. They were just running up the middle, but chose not to take a knee. I found that curious. Yes, he is an asshole.
There's another one, yes.
Okay. Anyway, forget about him, Dan. Anything you want to add about last week or about rivalry week?
Not really. I mean, it was a pretty, you know, awful week last week, I guess, overall. There wasn't a lot of great games, so that's why I love this weekend. So we can just hop right into these lines because this week is amazing.
Yeah, fortunately, this week more than makes up for it, and the games are spread out from Thursday through Saturday.
It's great.
Really good stuff. We're going to start with Thursday, Thanksgiving Day. Big game right off the bat is TCU at Texas. In my opinion, TCU needs to make a statement in this game. It's not enough to just win. They have to go into Texas. It's a 7-point line. I think in order to make themselves a playoff candidate or a better playoff candidate, they need to really win this one by 3 scores, I would say.
Yeah. I think that they got to win this game by at least 10 points. But Texas has been playing, you know, much improved football second half of the year. And this is a very tricky spot. Would not be shocked to see TCU lose on Thursday.
Yeah, Swoops, my man at Texas, who will be playing for McNeese State next year.
Yes.
He's been playing pretty well. He doesn't fit Charlie Strong's system, but they seem to have tailored their game a little more towards his skills for the last few weeks. And as you can see, it's working. So what a surprise, Dan, when you play to your player's strengths, it works out well.
Jeez. So rare.
It's shocking. So are we both going with TCU in this one?
I'm going to take Texas at home plus a touchdown.
All right, I am calling for an exact push in this game.
Fair enough.
That's my prediction.
That's very, it can happen.
You can't bet on a push, can you?
No, but you should be able to.
You should be. It should be like the green spot in roulette.
It should, that is a perfect analogy, yes.
I'm going to write to Adam Silver and have him include that in his new platform.
I love that guy.
He is great. Anything you want to say about Adam Silver quickly before we continue?
Not too much, just that he's just super smart and...
Best commissioner of all time?
Instantly already, yes.
Okay. Best commissioner all time any sport.
Yeah, he is already within 6 months.
Roger Goodell should, hire him for a consulting session. Learn his tricks.
He should just leave the NBA and take over the NFL. That's what you should do.
There's a little bit of crossover, but I think he could handle both.
Same shit.
Yeah. Greg Conklin played both sports for West Tennessee, so
perfect.
It can be done.
Valid point.
All right, LSU at Texas A&M. I have no thoughts on this game. 3.5-point line in favor of the Tigers.
This is a really hard line. LSU is a road favorite, which I don't understand why they are, seeing that they scored 0 points last week against Arkansas. I'm going to take A&M at home plus 3. I don't understand that line.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute with Arkansas. I think people love Arkansas now. Fuck it. Let's get to it right now. Friday games. Arkansas at Missouri. Arkansas is a 2-point favorite on the road against the co-leader of the SEC East, Missouri. I think people are looking at the last couple weeks and saying that Arkansas has found their footing. This is a good team. Bielema's finally got things going. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't. I think they played a freaking LSU team that can't score any points, you know, at home. And they were, you know, whatever. No, I don't think that they're, you know, obviously like a powerhouse or like even just a very good team. But they are a very talented team from the SEC and, you know, they're okay. But they're not amazing.
I would call them above average nationwide.
Something like that. I think that's fair, yeah.
I think they'd be a top 4 team in most other conferences.
Right.
I am a little hesitant to pick them. I probably would stay... Well, I will stay away if I had to pick. I think I might go with Missouri. They've been sneaky good recently. I'm happy to see them succeed. I really like Brett Bielema. I was glad to have him out of the Big Ten, not coaching against Penn State.
Yeah.
Although Wisconsin's new coach is just as good. But I think people are overreacting to the last couple weeks. As you said, LSU has a real problem with scoring. Despite the fact that LSU now is the entire NFL, their offense from last year.
Yeah, all of it.
Is the NFL, all of it.
Yeah.
How is that possible when their offense wasn't good, Dan?
Because...
they have individual great players, but they couldn't come together as a unit. Is that on Les Miles?
These guys were obviously outstanding high school football players who went to LSU and had to play the LSU type of football that would not show off their individual talents and skills. So I mean, these guys are super talented. They just played in an offensive system that wasn't awful. I mean, it was a horrible horrible, you know, slow, old-school system that they just never scored any points. But that's what can happen because these guys are just really great athletes. You know, they can go out of the pros and they can scrap college and go, oh, watch this. Here we go. But, yeah, very impressive to have all those guys in the NFL in 1 year. Very cool.
And it's not like LSU stopped recruiting. They've got that talent this year. They're just not doing anything with it, which is sad.
Yep.
Better luck next year.
Same old story with LSU. Not enough offense.
All right, Nebraska at Iowa. I'll handle this one. Big game for the Heroes Trophy, Dan.
Oh, great. It's all you.
Nebraska is a train wreck who is rapidly falling apart. The wheels have come off the wagon.
Yes.
Take Iowa. Lay the one.
Fair enough. You got it.
All right, Stanford at UCLA. I'll hand this one off to you, the West Coast guru. UCLA looks pretty decent now.
Yeah, but do not be fooled. This is the same UCLA team that is not – all right, they are overrated. They are not that good. I mean, they're okay, but they're not a top eight, you know, team. So, although at the same time, they are at home and they're favored by under a touchdown against a Cardinal team that is not the same Cardinal team that we've, you know, been used to seeing the last couple of years. So I'll probably just go with the over in this one and I won't touch the line. Over 49.5.
Let's fire off a few of these ACC games in a batch and you can comment on whichever ones you feel are noteworthy. Sure. I want to include all the rivalry games, even though some of these don't merit a long discussion. Got Virginia at Virginia Tech.
Okay.
1 point line in favor of Virginia, actually. SC goes to Clemson. Clemson's a 4.5 point favorite. And then you've got Kentucky at Louisville. Louisville may be decent. They're a 13-point line.
Yeah,
and Georgia Tech at Georgia, big rivalry, 12.5 point line.
That one I get wrong every year, first of all. The Georgia-Georgia Tech game I've never picked right ever, so I'm just going to go ahead and stay away. The Virginia-Virginia Tech game's interesting because both teams need a win to play in the postseason because they're both have the same record, 5-6. So that's going to be an interesting game because both teams really want to win so they can get a nice little vacation out of the deal. But I don't know who to pick, you know, and that's why it is Virginia -1 at Va Tech because no one knows. It's a flat pick 'em. So if you want to go with the home team, I'd probably take Va Tech and they're a more experienced coach in a spot to make a bowl game. So I'd probably lean Va Tech. The other ones are pretty much stayaways.
Okay. I can't imagine a bowl season without Va Tech playing in the Meineke Car Care Bowl or some horrible bowl game.
Can't wait.
Clemson, if we've got Deshaun Watson at full strength, I like them over a bad South Carolina team this year.
They are bad, yeah.
Georgia Tech at Georgia is a stay away for the reasons you mentioned. I would keep an eye on the weather report and the under because Georgia Tech has a surprisingly decent defense. Georgia, obviously, no Todd Gurley. They're going to be a little bit hampered, although not that much. Right. And Georgia has a great defense as well. Kentucky at Louisville. You have to take the points, except I don't ever want to bet on Kentucky.
Yeah, that's the problem. So you have to just say stay away for that one because you cannot lay 14 with a team that doesn't score a lot of points.
Right.
Can't do it.
Oh, I missed an ACC game. We've got NC State at North Carolina.
No clue. Both teams are a wreck.
Absolutely. That is the correct answer. That is a stay away. You should not watch. You should not bet.
Correct.
Moving along. Right on.
Yes.
Another stay-away game, Syracuse at Boston College.
What happened to Syracuse? Okay, now, hold on, real quick. I know we're on a little bit of a time crunch, but we got to spend a minute and a half on Syracuse.
Oh, we've got time to make fun of Syracuse always.
Yeah, we do. In fact, we might talk about Syracuse for the next 15 minutes and then just say, and also there's the Egg Bowl and Iron Bowl. Have a good week. But anyway.
That's fine. Ohio State, Michigan, that
don't
doesn't
worry
need
about
any
that.
Time.
That's a waste of time. This is more important. So Syracuse looked horrible early. Then they had a sneaky little mini, you know, two-game run where they looked like they were a half team. And now they're just an abs. They are horrible. They are really bad.
I think it has something to do with the quarterback situation. Terrell Hunt was out, or he was in to begin the season. He's not very good. Then he got injured. They brought in a freshman, or they were rotating two freshmen, and then they settled on one. And I think during that initial phase with the freshman quarterback, the coaches sort of didn't know what to do, so they were just trying random plays. And as we've said with UConn many times, when you're a bad team, it never hurts to just try some crazy shit.
Yeah, spread it out, see what happens.
Now, ironically, as they've gotten more comfortable with their quarterback, they've gotten lamer with the play calling, and now they just don't even try.
Upstate special, built on tradition.
Also, basketball season has begun. Two new stud freshmen. Nobody cares.
Yeah, and this is what happens every year in upstate New York. As soon as basketball season happens, they go, all right, this football team means nothing, and we move on. That's the same thing that's happened with the team we were just mentioning, playing Louisville, Kentucky. They were good earlier in the year, okay for Kentucky standards, and then their basketball team showed up, and they're looking like the best college basketball team of all time, and the football team loses by 50 every week. So there you go.
Right, and a little gambling tip, although I usually avoid basketball, Syracuse basketball has a lot of freshmen, not a lot of returning guys. Their star, and I use that term loosely, is a guy named Rakeem Christmas, who was the worst of their starters last year.
Yes.
Bet against them early and often. Yeah. As the two stud freshmen get better later in the season, I think they're going to come along and be pretty good. So bet against Syracuse basketball early and monitor their progress. Halfway into the season, I think they'll be pretty good.
All right, fair enough.
All right. We got a lot of action in the Big Ten, Dan.
Oh, I love it.
Minnesota at Wisconsin, playing for Paul Bunyan's axe, one of my favorite trophies.
Minnesota is under the radar, sneaky good. They are 8-3. They're ranked. They played Ohio State pretty well, I thought. Then they had a nice performance last week. 14 is too many points for Wisconsin. I like Minnesota plus 14 on the road here.
Good. I agree.
Yeah. A lot, actually.
All right. It's time for the big game. Michigan at Ohio State. 21-point line, Dan.
Lay it. Lay the 21. Only reason is the only time in the last week where you want to lay points is when a coach is surely going to get fired. This is the Nick Saban Gene Chizik theorem, where Urban Meyer will absolutely destroy Michigan and take his soul. But I don't have that much confidence in Urban Meyer, but I still would never bet Michigan in this spot ever. Look for Ohio State to really just absolutely murder them. But keep in mind, Michigan needs this win to get to the postseason. So that's what they'll be talking about all week. So look for the game to be close early and Ohio State to pull away big late. In fact, I might wait to bet Ohio State and bet them in half two in this game.
The nice thing about Ohio State, as previously mentioned, is that their coach has no shame in running up the score. So if it's debatable whether you're going to cover the spread late, remember that Urban Meyer will run plays with 30 seconds left, even if game is in hand. Yeah.
He's a prick.
Yeah, I don't like 21. I think that's a little much, but you cannot bet on Michigan. They're done.
No. Zero. You cannot.
So lay the points or don't bet it at all.
Fair enough.
And weather reports, as always, Dan, for this week. It's begun to snow here in Connecticut. I think all over the Northeast and parts of the Midwest, we're getting a lot of snow. Check that weather. Could be a lot of good underbets. I won a lot of underbets last week.
Very nice.
All right, I'm turning this one over to you. Baylor versus Texas Tech in whatever it's called now, Cowboys Stadium.
Lay it. Lay the 24.5. Dude, yeah, this is big because it's a neutral site game. It's going to be all our Bryles people there. Texas Tech's horrible. Their defense is absolutely awful. Baylor will fucking score so many points in this game. I'm not lying. This could be the 80-point game for Baylor this year.
Are you concerned at all that they may be looking ahead to Kansas State?
No, because it's a neutral site game at the Giant Stadium. No one's going to overlook that game at Texas Stadium. If this was a normal game on a college campus, maybe, but not because it's at Arlington. No chance. These guys all want to play there, so they're going to put on a show.
Okay. Back to Big Ten country. We got Michigan State at Penn State. 13.5, which is a weird line. That is the kind of line, if you're looking to bet on Michigan State, that is in your favor. If you're looking for Penn State, you really would want that half point.
Michigan State is, you know, kind of a sneaky, you know, under the radar type team. Penn State's having a down year. Seems easy. Wrong. Take Penn State plus 13 at home. This is very shady.
So the thing about Penn State, they have been going way under the last few weeks. Their defense is very good by some metrics.
Yes.
Weird sports nerd metrics that I don't understand. They've got a top 10 defense in the country.
Yep.
Michigan State, of course, has a great defense with a couple of the best players in the country. The over-under is only 45, but I still think I like that under.
Wow. That is an NFL over-under right there, a nice mid-40s.
Well, these teams have NFL-esque defenses, maybe not quite in the talent level, but the way they play and the way they stop the run, and they're both very good. I think you're looking at a very low-scoring game. I think Michigan State will win this one by about 13 or 14, so I don't like either side, but I think the under is probably your best bet. Plus, in State College, I looked it up, the high on Saturday will be 39 degrees, which does not bode well for either offense.
That's unbearable.
Yeah, so that'll be the battle for, by the way, the Land Grant Trophy. I'm not sure if people know about this one. Probably the worst trophy of all time. Not only, first off, you've got the meaning behind it, the fact that these schools were formed given, they were given land grants by the government. It's such a lame thing to be proud of.
That's horrible. There's no reason to be proud of yourself for that. You were given a gift by the government. Oh, congratulations. We should honor it every year.
Yeah. It's like having a bowl game based on like SNAP benefits.
Pretty much.
But beyond that, the actual trophy itself looks like a trophy that high schoolers would have made when they had like a annual golf tournament against their dads. And they just took a bunch of stuff off their mantle and glued it all together. You should Google it, everyone. It's like a block of wood with a bunch of things you took off your parents' mantle glued to it.
Hilarious.
It's no good.
No.
All right, Florida at Florida State, 7.5-point line. Florida State is undefeated. Jimbo Fisher has come out strongly saying that they should be ranked higher. Unfortunately, Dan, they fail in the made-up stat of game control.
Yeah, no one cares about that. Well, I'm sorry.
ESPN cares about it.
Yes, I was going to say, apparently the people care about it, but no one should care. Florida State only cares about going undefeated and making the playoffs. It's been like this all year. It doesn't matter if they're 1, 2, 3, or 4. They don't care. They don't care. Like, it doesn't matter. For this game here, you got your standard, Florida is getting over a touchdown, which probably take them. Nope, this is the... This is the last game of a failed head coach theorem. Lay it. Jimbo Woodshed, big time.
All right, I'll save this until we get to the Egg Bowl, but I want you to remind people of your Shang Tsung theorem of college football.
Yes.
I think Mississippi is a perfect candidate, so we'll save that one, but don't let me forget. I think Florida applies, as does Michigan.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get to the Egg Bowl, how about the Disappointment Bowl, as I am calling it, Notre Dame at USC?
Wow.
Two teams that should be way better at this point of the season and had disappointing losses last week.
The wheels have come off for Notre Dame, you know, and that's what's – here's the problem with Notre Dame is that their head coach is an asshole, and everyone knows that he screams at the players the whole game on the sideline. And, I mean, all that stuff's okay if you're making national title games and you're having a great start to this year and you're undefeated. But as soon as they lose a couple of times, then the wheels are off. Those players have turned on Brian Kelly. They don't care. There's a reason why they're a large underdog at USC. I can't believe that that is actually that high of a line, -7. But that being said, I'm still laying the 7 with USC because I think Notre Dame literally hates their coach and cannot wait for the season to end.
Speaking of rivalries, although it's tough to call this one, as one team is inept, Kansas at Kansas State, 28.5-point line. To me, that is way too high. Is it ethically responsible to bet on Kansas?
No, you cannot bet on Kansas, but you can't bet on Kansas State, especially with the game coming up next week. So stay away. Kansas State will win, just a matter by how many.
It's a look-ahead game. Kansas will keep it close early. I like Kansas in the points, although, as you said...
Can't do it. Won't do it. Won't do it.
Do you want to hitch your wagon to that star? That's
Don't
always
be an
the
idiot.
question.
Don't be an idiot. Don't do it.
Let's see what we have. Well, let's get into the Egg Bowl right now.
Good.
We might need a couple minutes for this.
Yeah.
First off, I'd like you to explain your Shang Tsung theory.
My Shang Tsung theory is when one coach is facing another coach and he is about to be canned, that if you beat them, then you not only win the game, but you take all of his information from coaching from his brain and you now inherit it. You actually take their soul and it's part of you forever. We saw it with Nick Saban blowing out Gene Chiggins by, I think, 55. We've seen it with a lot of other times. So I think that's what Florida State's going to do to Muschamp, and I think that's what Urban Meyer is going to do to Brady Hoke. Yeah, we'll see.
I like to call it the Kano theory also. You reach into their chest and take out their heart.
Correct.
Finish him. The reason I bring it up now, although Hugh Freeze is not in risk of losing his job, I do believe that loss to Auburn was just such a crushing loss this season for Ole Miss. Yeah. Not to mention they lost Treadwell. We've seen the results with the 30-0 defeat against Arkansas. I believe this team has had their soul ripped out by Gus Malzahn and co.
That's exactly what happened.
And I would lay the points with Mississippi State.
Me too. I think Mississippi State's going to get the win. And I'm a huge fan of Mississippi State this week, even though I love Ole Miss, but they're injured and just a horrible, horrible second half of the year. It's a tough break.
All right, Dan, speed round.
Yes.
UConn at Memphis, 21-point line.
Lay it.
Okay. Wake at Duke, 19.5-point line.
Take the points.
All right, Utah State at Boise. Boise, outside shot at the New Year's Six.
Oh,
9.5-point line.
They're annoying, and they're not that good either. I like Utah State.
Okay, Colorado State at Air Force, 7-point line. Air Force, surprisingly good at 8-3.
No clue. I really have no opinion on that one.
All right, I think Colorado State wins it, but close. Not enough to lay the points. Stay away. All right, Washington at Washington State.
If it wasn't for the injury to Connor Halliday, I'd love Washington State, but I don't know about a backup quarterback. I haven't really looked to see how well he's done. Peterson's a really good coach. He gets better as the year goes on. Probably take Washington in the spot.
Now, three more games.
It's
speed
only a
round.
Field. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, the Washington-Washington State game is shady because Washington State has no quarterback. They've won three games the whole year, and they're only getting 3 points at home. Very shady game.
Okay, this one is all you. Speed round's over. Take your time on this if you so prefer. Arizona at your hometown team, Arizona State. This one's off the board right now due to, I believe, Ainu Solomon.
Yes.
Arizona quarterback has an ankle injury, and his status is currently unclear.
Over. He's fine. He's going to play. Arizona State and Arizona have very little defense. They can score points. Beautiful weather out here this time of year for playing football. Not hot at all. Way over. 100 points. 100 points on Saturday.
100 points?
100 points.
Wow. Okay. I had some music queued up for the next one, but it seems my wife has jacked the Spotify account from out under me.
Wow, brutal.
So that's not going to work. But anyway, the Civil War, Oregon at Oregon State.
Hold on. Okay, I'm just going to queue up some music for a pick coming up in a minute. Okay, but Oregon State. Oregon always has problems with this game every fucking year. And keep in mind, Oregon State, once again, 5-6, needs a win to get to bowl eligible. They're not going to get bowl eligible, thank God, because whenever they actually do make a bowl, it's the worst bowl of the year. Oregon State's been involved in two of the worst bowls of all time in the last 10 years, 3-0 games. Anyway, yeah, the Oregon State game's a tough one because it's a rivalry game, and Oregon State's not that good. They have Only 5 wins, so they're trying to get this win to get bowl eligible. But Oregon will win. Don't know by how many. Stay away from that one.
All right, Dan. Auburn at Alabama. 9.5-point line. You got any music queued up for this one?
Yeah, I do, in fact.
The Iron Bowl.
Oh, wait, hold on. yes. As I wait for the music to load.
I have a feeling I know what this is going to be.
You should know what it is.
But I will give some thoughts or some stats or some updates. An injury update. We've got Amari Cooper with a bruised knee. Should be fine. Oh, here we go.
Yeah. Turn it up.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I was under the impression that it was going to be Gus Malzahn's You Can't Touch This dance.
That's coming at the end of the year podcast for the bowl season. We're going to use the shitty Leonard Skinner song now, and we'll use that later.
Was that Leonard Skinner, or was that that Kid Rock song?
Oh, no, that was Skinner, baby. Don't worry about that.
All right, so what was I going to say? Duke Williams, MCL injury, should probably play. Not definite, but probably. And for Alabama, a lot of Alabama players have had minor injuries in the last couple of weeks. They're all going to be fine. So these teams are basically at full strength. Blake Sims needs 87 yards to break Alabama's total season offensive yardage record.
Yep.
Running and passing combined. He needs like 380 something to break their passing record for a season, which will probably be a tall order for this game. Auburn looks a little like they've given up the last few games. I would think that wouldn't be an issue in this game because it's the Iron Bowl, but hopefully they get it together.
All right.
And I turn it over to you.
I have a lot of thoughts on this game, as I should, because this is right up my alley. Yes, Auburn looks like they've given up a little bit. Alabama looks like they're going to win the national title. We've seen this before, my friends.
Like, for example, 1 year ago?
Or like every fucking year. Do not lay the pool except for the Gene Chiggins 55-0 game, which we all knew was coming. I knew was coming. Love Auburn. I just love Auburn in this spot. You get over a touchdown. You just need a close game. Malzahn loves keeping it close. And I know Alabama knows what happened last year and they're pissed off, but Auburn's Auburn. They know these players better than anyone else. Love Auburn in the 9.5. Favorite bear the whole week.
Do you think there's any chance they'll pull the upset, or do you like Alabama in a close win?
I think Alabama will win, but I would not be shocked if Alabama or if Auburn won. How could you be shocked? We saw the same shit happen last year.
Of course.
At Alabama.
This one was at Auburn. This one's at Alabama. Yeah. Alabama had a tough road stretch. They had to play 2 road games in like 6 weeks. Thankfully, they're back at home once again for their 12th home game of the season.
You know it.
Coming off a big win against Western Carolina.
Big win. No one cares.
I am convinced that's not a real game. It didn't actually happen. They just said that was on the schedule, and they made up a score. Oh, right. Yeah, 48-14.
Game over. Yeah, you win. Amari Cooper, 8 catches. Whatever.
Yeah, that Auburn versus Stanford, whoever they played. So those games last week didn't happen. That was just a fake-out to get them an extra week of preparation.
Yes.
I'm with you. This is the ultimate rivalry game, maybe even surpassing Ohio State, Michigan the last few years.
Oh, 100%, yes.
Both teams will come out with 150% effort, even though that's mathematically impossible.
No, it's not. It's not impossible in the SEC. It's not impossible.
So I'm with you. I don't picture this game being more than a touchdown. I find it very hard to picture. Who knows? Unless Auburn's completely given up, but I find that hard to believe as well. All right, Dan, you want to wish our faithful listeners a happy Thanksgiving?
Yes, have a safe and lovely Thanksgiving. It's a great holiday. Be careful on the roads. And just watch a lot of college football on Saturday. You know, spend as much family time as possible Thursday, Friday, even go out to a nice lunch. You know, get smart. Think outside the box. Get your family time in because you're going to need to be there Saturday. So you need to be an all-star for 2 days, and then Saturday morning you got to tell everyone to leave, and you got to start watching college football because it's an amazing day.
That's what Thanksgiving's all about. Ever since the Indians and the Pilgrims had Thanksgiving dinner and then told each other to get the fuck out so they could watch football. Or lacrosse or whatever the hell it was back then.
Oh, I've never even heard of that. It was football.
Okay. That's it. Our podcast is over. Yeah. What was I going to say? I always end with the promo, you know, takethepoints.net, but nobody cares about that. Find us on Twitter. Link up on LinkedIn. Instagram us on Instagram.
Dude, that's a horrible idea. Do not link up on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's the worst. It's a bunch of loser guys with like holster cell phones. It's just, it's bad.
You're right. All right. Find us, watch us on Vine. Find us on Friendster.
Yeah.
Go to the
Vimeo,
take the points, live journal page. Connect, people. Connect with us.
MySpace. I'm actually gonna post a link to this on my MySpace page. I'm gonna roll it back.
Good. I'm gonna start a Zanga blog.
Oh, okay. That's it. You win. Have a nice Thanksgiving, everybody.
All right, everyone.
Take the points. Goodbye.
Enjoy the podcast. See you next week. Bye.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some man you just can't reach. So you can get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants it.